Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Cătălin Câmpanu, and this week our shows are sponsored by Finks, the makers of the much-loved Finks Canary. In today's top story, HackerOne, one of the internet's largest bug bounty platforms, said late last week on Friday that it fired a rogue employee who stole bug reports from legitimate researchers. HackerOne said the employee was reaching out to companies that had bug bounty programs on its platform using a fake persona named RZLR. The employee used intimidating language to request payments for the same bugs that legitimate researchers previously filed via HackerOne. The scheme came to light 2 weeks ago when one of these companies complained to HackerOne, suspecting that someone had gained access to their private HackerOne program. A subsequent HackerOne investigation followed, and the company said it took them less than a day to identify the rogue employee, block their access to the platform, and remotely lock their device. HackerOne said they linked the rogue employee, who joined the company 2.5 months before, to the RZLR threat actor because of a second SuckPuppet HackerOne account the employee was using to cash out bounties from the extorted companies. HackerOne said they fired the employee last Thursday after they linked them to incidents at 7 other customers. HackerOne have not revealed the employee's name and said they are still considering if to refer the case to law enforcement. In other news, the Maastricht University in the Netherlands will receive the ransomware payment they paid to hackers in 2019, back and with a profit. The university paid 200,000 euros in Bitcoin to hackers 3 years ago, and they will receive their Bitcoin back after Dutch authorities tracked down the payment to a money launderer in Ukraine who was detained last year. The positive side to this story is that the Bitcoin is now worth 500,000 euros, which the university said it plans to put in a fund meant to help struggling students. In other news on hacks and breaches, Anchor, a company that provides server infrastructure for blockchain companies, disclosed a security breach on Friday, revealing that a threat actor socially engineered the Gandhi employee to take control over some of its servers. The company said the attacker modified two named servers in order to redirect traffic from two RPC servers to malicious versions. These two servers handle traffic for Polygon and the Phantom Foundation, two organizations that specialize in Ethereum-based infrastructure. Both companies confirmed the RPC infrastructure hijack, but did not provide any details about the impact on their customers or if any funds were lost. Meanwhile, in Israel, an Iranian hacking group named Sharp Boys has leaked the personal information of more than 300,000 Israeli citizens who sign up on travel agency websites. According to the Jerusalem Post, data from more than 20 websites was leaked, including details such as ID numbers, addresses, and even payment card details. According to the Times of Israel, all websites were operated by a company named Gold Tours, and Israeli officials took a never-before-seen step to seize the company's servers to have better access and investigate the intrusion themselves. In tech news, Microsoft has formally launched a new Azure AD feature named Temporary Access Pass. The feature allows Azure AD servers to issue time-limited passcodes to a company's employees. These passcodes can be used by employees to register new accounts or reset accounts where they lost access. Microsoft said this new feature should be used by companies that have migrated their employees to passwordless setups where employees use hardware security keys, authenticator apps, or biometrics to access their accounts and need a temporary way to let users register or reset access. Elsewhere in China, a group of 10 Chinese tech companies have agreed to help Killensoft build a new project named OpenKillen, meant to help improve the open source development of Killen, China's national operating system. The move comes as Western software companies such as Microsoft and Apple are pulling out of Russia and creating technical issues for the Russian government, which, just like China, is incredibly dependent on US-made operating systems. In government and politics-related news, Israel's defense minister accused the Iranian government and its Lebanese proxy, the Hezbollah, of attempting to hack the UN peacekeeping force that sits on the border between Israel and Lebanon. In US government-related news, the Department of Justice also filed a lawsuit last week to stop Booz Allen Hamilton's acquisition of EverWatch. The DOJ believes that if the acquisition goes through, Booz Allen will establish a monopoly and become the sole viable bidder in NSA defense contracts for signals intelligence modeling and simulation services. These contracts are also known as Mason contracts. The DOJ also said in a strategic planning document published on Friday that it wants to increase the percentage of reported ransomware incidents it handles by 65% by September 2023. The DOJ strategic plan also involves increasing the number of seizures and forfeitures following a ransomware investigation by another 10%, the record reported. In cybercrime and threat intelligence news, a new pro-Russian hacktivist group calling itself Deadnet has taken credit for the wave of DDoS attacks that hit Norway over the past week. The group now joins the ranks of similar hacktivist groups like Killnet and Xacnet, although it's unclear if they're just a front for Russian intelligence services like the previous two. In malware-related news, MSSoft CTO Fabian Wossar said that large chunks of the Lockbit 3.0 source code appears to have been copied from the now-defunct DarkSide and Black Matter ransomware strains. One of Wossar's theories is that the old DarkSide coders were most likely fired after MSSoft released a decryptor for Black Matter victims last fall. While the DarkSide and Black Matter admins moved to a new Rust-based ransomware project named AlphaV, their former coders appear to have joined forces with the Lockbit gang to create version 3.0 of the ransomware released last month. Also in ransomware-related news, researchers from the SVW Talon team have spotted two cybercrime groups using branding similar to Lockbit, a well-known and successful ransomware operation. The first is named SolidBit, and while its code appears to be based on the Yashmar ransomware, its logo and payment site mimic Lockbit style. The second is named Krypton, and while it's not been confirmed to be an actual ransomware operation, the gang operates a leak site that is almost identical to the one used by Lockbit. Also in malware-related news, Microsoft told customers in a security alert last week to bolster their defenses against the Raspberry Robin malware, as the company has found infections with this new threat on the networks of hundreds of customers. Discovered by Red Canary last year, Raspberry Robin is a Windows worm that spreads through USB devices and often uses QNAP NAS devices as command and control servers. In vulnerability news, an internet scan carried out by researchers from security firm SpiderSilk found that more than 315,000 DNS servers are vulnerable to a vulnerability in the Bind9 DNS server software tracked at CVE-2021-25220. Disclosed earlier this year in March, the vulnerability can be used to poison the cache of DNS servers and propagate bad DNS responses across its clients. And last but not least, security firm Akros has released a micro-patch for the DFS Coerce vulnerability, which Microsoft said it wouldn't fix. Mitya Kolsek, co-founder and CEO of Akros Security, told Risky Business News that his company now has micro-patches for all four major NTLM relay attacks disclosed over the past year that Microsoft classified as won't fix issues. This includes attacks like Remote Potato, Petit Potam, Spool Sample, and DFS Coerce. This is it for today's news. Today's show was sponsored by Finks, the makers of the much-loved Finks Canary. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.